nothing to bring, nothing to offer. We didn't even seek after you, but you sought us and you saved us with the washing and regeneration of your Holy Spirit. And Father God, I pray that you'd move in our hearts this morning. And God, our hearts are enlarged with this praise that you are exalted over all, over everything that's happening on the earth. You are exalted as King. Of everything in our lives, you are exalted as Lord. And Father God, we come before you today and I ask that you would move my words and my thoughts and my opinions out of the way. And Father, let me only speak your word, and somehow you'd use this frail and weak human vessel. God, I humbly come before your word. God, I pray that you'd not allow me to distort it in any way. And Lord, I pray as we listen to your word, as we take it in, God, that it would be as it is, your very words, and that you would change our lives from the inside out. Oh, Lord Jesus, we welcome your Holy Spirit to convict us, to bring us to repentance, to bring us to a place of walk of holiness with you, to live out the righteousness that you've given us so graciously in Christ. Lord, I pray that you bless the children as they go to junior church. And Lord, I pray your word would touch their hearts, change their hearts, change their lives. In all God's people sin. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I would like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. We just finished our series with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and I'm just taking a break, and we have been talking about, since it's been on our radars lately, what is real revival? What is true revival? And last week we visited the book of Acts, and this week we're going to visit 2 Kings, and next week Nehemiah, before we launch into another book of the Bible to go through. But I want to talk today about when the book is found. I want you to picture a time where in the land of Israel, they had had evil king after evil king. They set up these altars to these foreign gods everywhere across the land. The place was in utter darkness. They removed the book of the law from where it was supposed to be next to the Ark of Covenant and hid it somewhere in the back chambers of the treasury in the temple. And for years, the word of the Lord had been forgotten. Sin was rampant, but God is sovereign, and he brought a guy by the name of Josiah on the scene here. And when Josiah became king over the southern kingdom of Judah in about 640 BC, we know that there is that history of kings. If you just look in the previous chapter, you have chapter 21, Manasseh, who was an evil king, who did, it says, evil in the eyes of the Lord in chapter 21, verse 2, in the sight of God. And so by the time he became king, Josiah became king, the nation was deep into idolatry. The word of God was ignored and lost. However, Josiah began his reign at the age of 8 years old. Could you believe that? At 8 years old, and it says in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3, when he was 16 years old. Can you picture this? A 16-year-old began to seek the face of the Lord. Now, these men that were old and were seasoned as kings, Manasseh, Amon, and all those guys, still didn't get it. Here you have a 16-year-old boy who begins to seek the face of the Lord. And just so we understand a little bit of what was going on in time, there's just a time period chart there. Josiah came during the time right before the southern kingdom fell into captivity. And so you have the prophet Jeremiah that was during his time. And then you have the book of Daniel, and you can see as it works this way. And next week we're going to jump all the way over to the right side to the book of Nehemiah, because the people did not repent. Josiah repented, but the nation as a whole did not repent. So they got taken into captivity, and so they had to have another revival. And that's what we're going to talk about next week as well. But today we're focusing on this whole idea of the Word of God. And Josiah in 2 Chronicles, I just want to read this so we get the picture. 2 Chronicles, you can just listen, verse 34, chapter 34 in 2 Chronicles. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, for in the 8th year of his reign, which would be 16 years old, if you do the math correctly, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of his David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the ashram, the carved and metal images. And they chopped down the altars of the Baals in his presence. And he cut down the altars and he broke in pieces. And I'm just giving a highlight here. And he carved, and the metal images, he made dust of them and scattered it over the graves of those that sacrificed him. So this guy was seriously legit. He began to seek the face of the Lord, and at 16, and then he was in his 20s, he started to go around a land. Can you imagine somebody going around and tearing down every false religion or false church? That'd be like if somebody comes in America and they start going around and tearing down every cult church that there is, tearing down the signs of Hollywood and everything that everybody worships, and grinds them to dust. Folks, this is a serious time. He was pulling down these huge sculptures and these altars that they had spent so feverishly many years building. And so we come full circle now back in our chapter 22 of 2 Kings. And I want to begin reading there because God always preserves his word. So in that 18th year of Josiah's reign, when he was 26 years old, so at 16 he began to seek God. In his early 20s, he began to tear down these altars. And then when he was 26 years old, suddenly they happened to find a copy of God's word. And so there was a guy by the name of Hilkiah, who was the high priest at the time, who happened to be counting out the money to repair the house of God, because Josiah wanted to repair the house of God. And he gave it to the secretary to take to King Josiah. And so let's read now, and I want you to pay close attention to Josiah's reaction when the book of the law was found. So I want to encourage you to dust your Bibles off. If you have not been in the Word of God on a daily basis, you need to as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're living in times where we need the truth of God's Word. And you know why Manasseh didn't want the Word of God next to the altar or the Ark of the Covenant? Because back in Deuteronomy, God said, I'm setting this here as a testimony against you if you don't do all that's written in it. And you know, people do that today, right? They want the Ten Commandments erased out of our courtrooms. They don't want the testimony of God against them. So let's hide it, let's bury it, let's do away with it. And even in churches today, we practically do that same thing, even though we say, well, I believe the Word of God, it's inspired. But we don't pull it out and study it. We don't get into it. We don't believe every part of it. And we don't view it as the truth. We say, well, it's okay, and there are certain parts that I like, but some of it's a little outdated. Notice Josiah's response. In verse 1, he says, Josiah was 8 years old, and when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adai of Bozkath. I probably didn't pronounce those right. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or the left. So in this 18th year of King Josiah, age 26, The king set Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the secretary to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold were collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have oversight in the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters, to the builders, and the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. So here he is. He's going in the treasury, pulling out this money, giving it to the guys that are to build the temple, repair the temple and the place of God's worship. And he stumbles across the book of the law. He dusts it off, brings that scroll out. And notice what he does next. And Hilkiah said, he gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported it to the king. Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen and have oversight of the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now, you can imagine, here was Josiah seeking God's face, but without the word of God. Can you imagine? Probably his heart literally leapt out of his chest when he heard those words. And so he came, the secretary, and read the whole thing before the king, stood before him. In verse 11, it says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Anakim the son of Shaphan and Akbar the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So I want to bring up some points. When the book of God is found, and when we open the Bible to read it in our lives, we must have a willingness, first of all, to read it and be open to it. Now, Josiah could have said, like a lot of wokesters today, well, I have a great relationship with God. I get good feelings and goosebumps when we have worship and praise and shouting and dancing and all those things. I don't need the word of God. But he was a godly young man, and he did not want to turn to the right or to the left. He wanted to find out the will of the Lord. Must be willing to read it. I don't care how young you are, young people. If you're not reading the Word of God and you're a believer and you're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you need to be in the Word of God. And you have to pray for a willingness, because that's what Jesus saves us for. It is for a hunger for His Word so that we can be transformed. And you know, it's not a work of your own doing. Because we know, first of all, in Corinthians it says, those without the Spirit cannot understand the things of the Spirit, because the Bible is a supernatural book and you need the Holy Spirit to read it. So if you're not saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ died in your place for your sins, so that we put our faith and trust in Him and the Spirit comes to live inside and give us understanding of His Word. See, the Word of God necessitates action in our life, and that we would read it and study it. And you know, the Word is always found when we truly set out to do what's right. And that's what Josiah did. He didn't know what that was going to happen. He says, I remember, I've been taught by my family that these idol worship is wrong, that we're only supposed to worship the one true God. That much I know, and so I'm going to go and pursue that and do that. But now when the Word of God's found, it happened 18 years into his reign at age 26, and given the evil that the people have plunged himself into, perhaps it took 18 years of his reign to even get to this point. But according to Deuteronomy, what I mentioned earlier, 31 verse 26, I want to read that. The book of the law was to be placed by the Ark of the Covenant It was obvious during the reign of Manasseh that he removed it. So I want to read that verse that Moses said in chapter 31, and you'll understand the significance here of finding the book of the law. Moses commanded the Levites, Deuteronomy 31, verse 25, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, take the book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it be, listen carefully, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you. Moses said clearly, it is so important that we put the Word of God at the center of everything. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass from my word. And God in His sovereignty didn't allow it very long. He brought the Word of God to light. And Josiah brought it out as a testimony against the idol worship. And folks, we need to read and study the Bible. We have to be willing to do that. Secondly, when the book is to be found, we have to be willing to listen to it. Did you notice that Josiah didn't say, well, I'm busy right now. It took some time to read through all the books of the law. And so when we listen to the word, we intelligently pay attention. So the root word for heard in the Hebrew means to hear intelligently. In other words, it means to pay attention to the point of I'm going to obey it. I know it enough to obey it. Now, the other day, I was so proud of myself because Tanya sent me to Aldi with a list, and I got my list out, and it was written right on there I was supposed to get a can of crushed tomatoes. A simple task. I go there, I come home, and I'm coming in like a proud peacock that I did all those things. And I pull it out, and it was diced tomatoes. And I thought for sure I had paid attention to the list. I even had it out. I was reading it. I was looking at it, but I did not listen to it. And needless to say, now she has to crush the tomatoes in a grinder for the delights of the chili tonight for the men's meeting to go on your wonderful hot dogs. See, there's a difference between listening and listening. When he said the word listening, it's to the point of I know it well enough to obey it and carry it out correctly. So when the book must be found, we must be willing to listen to it. And then thirdly, when the book is found, we must respond with a penitent heart. Now I want to read on and look in verse 11 there. When the king heard the words, he tore his clothes. And then if you skip over to verse 19 just for a moment, and he says, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place. So right away, Josiah had what's called a penitent heart. And that word in the Hebrew means to be tender, to be soft, to be weak, to be timid, to be fearful. In other words, it's not a proud heart like my proud heart was. I know what crushed tomatoes are. I even said that before I left the house. I know what crushed tomatoes are. But it's to have a soft heart that is alarmed by what God's word says. Can you picture this king, 26 years old, listening to the word of God? He takes his garment and tears it because he realizes how far his people have come from the word of God. A soft heart is alarmed by what God's word says, and it is weakened and fearful by the word. Folks, there's many times when we come to the word of God and say, oh, I just love the Psalms. And then we read something in the Psalms that maybe we don't like to hear, and we're just like, oh, let's skip to the Lord as my shepherd. That's a good one. And then we get to the part where I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. No, that's not what Joel Osteen says. Everything's supposed to go good for us all the time, right? So let's skip to something else that gives me warm and fuzzy feelings, right? No, if our heart is soft, we're fearful and weak before it. In other words, we can't stand against it. We won't make excuses for it or to it, because a true penitent heart is a heart that's been changed by the Holy Spirit. And in fact, what our brother read this morning about our conscience being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, a soft heart. And not only that, he says he was humbled. A soft heart is brought low into subjection to God's word. And so it means to be humbled or brought down, or literally that Hebrew means bended knee. In other words, it's saying, I don't know how many times, husbands, you need to do this before your wives, but I'm wrong and you are right. That's the kind of heart we have before God's word. He says, humbled or bowed down before. I was wrong, and what you say here is right. I was wrong about the crushed tomatoes. So when the book is found, we must have a penitent heart. Folks, how do we have a penitent heart? First of all, it is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that makes it possible. But secondly, we have to invite God to come in and soften our hearts. We have to be willing to receive the oil of the Holy Spirit. Oil softens things. Oil tenderizes meat. Oh, how our hearts get so hardened by the things of this world. When the book is found, we have to respond with a penitent heart. And four, when the book is found, we absolutely must, as James talks about, looking in the mirror. He says it's like a man who looks in the mirror. And how many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Raise your hands if you looked in the mirror this morning. Almost all of you. Some of you that didn't, I can see. Yeah. There's those eye crusties and things like that. And you don't want me to go into details of the stuff that's the residue from sleeping and snoring at night. What do? We look in the mirror. We wash it. We get rid of it. We make it clean. We comb our hair. We make things right. And that's exactly what Josiah did. Is that he immediately said, we need to go inquire of the Lord, because I realized, look in the end of verse 13, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of the book to do everything that's written in accordance to it. We must compare our lives to God's word. But here's the thing. When we compare our lives to God's word, it does a thing that we don't like to talk about. It brings us face to face with the wrath of God. It brings us face to face with the wrath of God. As we skip down to verse 16 and 17, when he goes to that prophet, he says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled in this place, and it will not be quenched. Why was it that Josiah said, we must inquire of the Lord? Because immediately he came face to face with the holy righteousness of God, the wrath of God. And he says, all these things that are written in the book of the law will come upon us. And God promised that they would be punished by turning to idols. That's written there clearly. And if you read through the books of Deuteronomy and all the books of the law and all that. So he came face to face with the wrath of God. So what do? When you come face to face with the wrath of God. The Word of God says when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He turns away the wrath of God from us. and God's wrath is no longer against us. But yet, there is that holiness of God. Jesus says, do not fear the man that can kill your body, but fear him who can cast your soul into hell. And so there is a goodness to the holy wrath of God in that it drives us to have a penitent heart. It drives us back to the cross again where we belong. And as Christians, we go along our way, and the Bible says that we just got done going through 1 John. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If it weren't for the wrath of God, if it weren't for that holiness where we realize I looked in the mirror and I got eye boogers, I got hairs out of place, and I must do something. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. When we look at it and we compare ourselves to it, say, man, I don't line up with that. And that's where my penitent heart comes. Comparing our lives to God's Word will show us exactly where we've disobeyed God. And not only that, you know, they disobeyed God, but then in the end of verse 13, they didn't do all that is written according to it. So when we compare our lives, God's going to show us what to do. If you're struggling with the will of God in your life, you can't just go by a feeling. And that's, I'm afraid, of what much of our Christianity is today. Well, God just told me to do this, and we float over here and do this. We haven't opened our Bible in weeks. I just got this warm feeling inside, or I just got this inkling that, and don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit does make impressions on our heart. But if we are not connected with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works with the Word works with the Holy Spirit, you can't have one without the other. You cannot have the Holy Spirit speaking to you and giving you impressions if you don't have the Word of God in your life. Because he has nothing to work with. So comparing our lives with God's Word will show us. So if you notice there, God's wrath is a good thing because it reveals our disobedience to God. It shows us you're about to get hit by a train. It shows us and pushes us out of the way of that train. It shows us how we've forsaken God and how we have a broken relationship with Him. And so for the lost, the wrath of God means I need a Savior. For those that already have a Savior, it means confession. I need to go back to my Savior and have that relationship restored, which is what we study in the book of 1 John, having fellowship and intimacy with God. It also reveals the idolatry in our lives. And last of all, when the book is found, just as Josiah did, it means we must immediately seek the Lord. Folks, if the Word of God is just something we read and say, well, that was interesting. And I remember growing up in the church where it was somewhat legalistic, and in that generation where people would go into the Sunday school classes and they wanted to study the book of Revelation because they wanted to have all this knowledge. And so I heard all these people saying, that's interesting. That's interesting. As they were gathering all these facts of God's Word instead of seeking God as a result of it. Josiah did that, and so they had to go find, in verse 14, this prophetess, and she was probably the only prophetess in the land. And that word inquire means to seek with care, to inquire, to literally tread a place, to stay in a place, like you're treading water or dwelling in a place. And I want you to notice in verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest, I'm not going to read all those names, keeper of the wardrobe, she now lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her, and she said to him, thus says the Lord. Now remember, it was evil times. There was very few places of Christian worship, worship of the one true God, Yahweh, left. Because remember, he had to go and tear down all those places of false worship. The temple had been in disrepair. And the people that hung on to the Word of God were few and far between. And this lady was a prophetess. She happens to be, her husband is the uncle of the prophet Jeremiah, many people believe. But nevertheless, she was a godly woman. She stayed in the Word throughout the reigns of those evil kings. And so they said, let's find out. Let's seek the face of the Lord. So seeking means immediately consulting God or going to God. It means spending time with God frequently, staying in His presence. Lord, I just want to sit in Your presence. See, the Word of God is not just a book of facts, but is a book that brings us into the holy presence of God and deepens our relationship with Him. Seeking means studying and investigating God. That's what the word inquire means. It makes an investigation, to tread frequently. It means to follow. So notice how the priest searches until he finds someone who kept following God during the dark period of the land, Huldah. I want to encourage you too, in your walk with the Lord, just as a side application here, it is important for you to find, as you know, you study the Word of God, but it is important for you to find mentors and teachers who are totally given over to obeying all of God's Word. Is to find those people who believe that I have to believe it from cover to cover and live it out in my life. I'm going to find those people and seek counsel with them and pray with them. And I want you to notice in verse 18 how God spared Josiah from the impending judgment. And that's the thing, when we have an impenitent, a penitent heart. He says, but to the kings of Judah who sent you to inquire the Lord, in verse 18, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And you have torn your clothes and you have wept before me, and I also have heard you, declares the Lord. You see the beauty there, the play of words. He says, let's go and inquire the Lord. He heard, it says in the text, the word, and he tore his clothes. And God says, I have heard you. You know, those of us who are in Jesus Christ and in the gospel, don't you know when we confess our sins, God hears us? Don't you know when our Bibles have gotten dusty and we return to Him and say, God, in tears, with a heart of repentance as Josiah did, He hears us. He says, therefore, in verse 20, behold, I will gather you to your fathers. You shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back word to the king. So it was about 200 years later where the children of Israel were taken captive and the city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Josiah missed out on that because he had a repentant heart. Seeking means following the Lord. I don't want to ask our worship team if they can come today, and I want to leave you with this today. And I want to urge you, young and old. In fact, I want to say, I know that's in the age of electronics where they say, well, I have my Bible on my phone, but you also have a lot of other junk on your phone. There's something about having a copy of God's Word that is your own. There's something about having where you can mark, where you can study, where you could tread frequently. You know, my phone app that has my Bible app that I use sometimes, it doesn't show that I've treaded somewhere frequently, and I'm not that familiar with it. This, much more familiar with it. It's become my friend. It's God's Word. It goes with me. It's a part of my life. I read it. So when we read God's Word and we listen to it, and when we respond to it with a soft heart, when we compare our lives to it and we follow God's Word, our lives will look like Josiah's. And you know, if you're here today and you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is not possible You know, you can't try to become a moral person like Josiah without the work of putting your trust in the work of Jesus Christ. He died in our place for our sins, and He rose again, and He calls us to repent and turn and give our lives to Him. And if you are a believer today, I urge you to dust it off. You know, I've told you many times the times where my mind goes insane. You have those days where you feel like I just can't sort it all out. I feel like I'm going crazy with the stress that's going on in our lives, with the news we read. Wash it with this. It's like a cleaner to stick in your hard drive. If we do, our lives, people are going to say of us, he or she did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It's not going to be he or she had a huge church, or he or she plays the guitar really well, or the piano really well, or he or she is really talented at speaking or teaching. No, it's he or she did what was right in the eyes of God. It says he walked in the ways of David his father, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate king. And so it'll be said of us, he or she walked in the way of Jesus. I can smell and see and hear Jesus all over that person. He or she refused to turn aside in any way from God's word, even though the pressure was being put on them by social media, by friends, by the workplace, by family. They just were not going to compromise for nothing. Do you want that said of you? Treasure God's word, just as Josiah did. Father, I just thank you so much for your holy word today. And Lord, I pray that you would burn it into each of our hearts as we sing this last song. God, I pray all over in this room of all ages that you'd implant a desire to read your word, a desire to obey your word, a desire to live in the delights of God's word. Lord, forgive me for my apathy of your word. Forgive us for the time our Bibles just sat in the corner at home and we forgot it. We even lost it because we haven't looked at it in a long time. Forgive us, God. Oh, Lord, give us that penitent heart that only you can do through the softness and the tenderness of your Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just stand with us if you're able.